Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Doing wonderful, bro.
Well, praise God, praise God. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Pelosi. How are you doing today, bro?
I'm doing fantastic. Looking forward to a show that never causes controversy at all.
That's right. Yeah, we don't do any of that. But
that's funny.
I will say this, and I know we want to get right into it, because I saw Joe's stack of papers before we started, and we have a lot of scripture to go through, okay? And it's an important topic, but I want to tell you guys just a couple of resources before we get into it. One is our DVD, Left Behind or Led Astray. I just taught an eschatology class last night, and I used a short clip that you can find on our YouTube channel regarding what the early church taught on this doctrine and where it came from. So Left Behind and Led Astray, where you can also find on our YouTube channel a couple of different teachings, one of which is the great pre-trib rapture deception. So we are not hiding anywhere where our position is today. We want to let you know we are post-tribulational, and Joe's going to show you why.
Yeah, we happen to believe what the early church believed, that the second coming actually happens at the second coming, and that Jesus comes for his saints at his second coming. That's what the church had taught for 1,800 years until the rise of, you know, John Darby and others. You won't find in any church creed, any church denomination prior to that time teaching a pre-trib that Jesus will come 7 years earlier than a third time at his second coming, or I guess that would be the third coming for a pre-tribber. And actually, if you're pre-trib, you have to actually believe in three comings, his first coming, and you can't say the second coming is just the first stage of a second coming. You have to say the pre-trib rapture is an actual second coming, because Jesus actually descends from heaven, it says, with a shout and the voice of the archangel, 1 Thessalonians 17 or 14, verses 16 through 18. And then you have to believe that he comes back on a white horse a third time. The Bible says it's appointed a man once to die, but after this judgment, and that it says in that same passage, verse 28 of chapter 9 of Hebrews, and man, I got to get to my notes. I'm just going from my heart right now. But it talks about how Christ appeared to us in reference to, it talks about he appeared once to us, but it will appear a second time in reference to our salvation, not a third or a fourth time. But by the way, you know, we had a $10,000 offer available for a long time, and anybody could give us one clear pre-trib verse that says that Jesus will come and rapture the church before the tribulation period. Nobody was ever able to claim that, because no such verse exists. In fact, I have quotes that I've gathered through the years, several quotes, maybe the largest trove of quotes from pre-tribbers on this issue, that have admitted that you won't find a verse. They admit that there's no verse that clearly teaches a pre-trib rapture in your entire Bible. It became popular, guys, because it sounds good. And Paul warned that in the last days, people would have doctrines that would tickle people's ears and tell them that what they want to hear, and it would appeal to their flesh. And of course, we all want to hear we don't have to go through trials, especially that big trial at the end of the age and so forth. However, I want to believe what God's word says, and I want to believe whatever God has for us is best, and that he won't allow us to go through more than we're able by his grace as we look to him. So we're here as a ministry, Good Fight Ministries, and one of the reasons we exist is not only to warn you, the flock, and be watchmen on the wall, encouraging you and encouraging one another, but also to warn the flock in regard to being prepared for the times. The Bible, Jesus rebuked the people of his day because they could tell the weather by looking at the color of the sky and whether it's going to rain or not the next day, but they couldn't discern the times and understand the signs for his first coming. He gave signs that lead up to his second coming. It wasn't, as pre-tribbers say, a signless coming that believers are supposed to look for, a signless secret rapture before the signs even begin that lead up to the second coming. The signs for the second coming are the signs, and we need to be like the sons of Issachar. It says they understood the times, and therefore they knew what to do. If we don't understand what time it is spiritually, and we think we're going to be gone before everything goes down, we may reinterpret to what's actually going down as being that which is not going down. No, this can't be the Antichrist. This can't be the mark of the beast, because the Antichrist won't come until after the rapture. And I'm not saying everybody will fall for it that way, but there is a great apostasy coming. And Jesus said, when in time of the Antichrist, many would fall away. Matthew 24, Paul said that there would be a falling away and the man of sin would be revealed. They happen in concert with one another. And how better, if you're Satan, can you get Christians to fall away than to get them to think that they're not going to be at the end of the age facing these deceptions, and also teaching them that they don't have to persevere. That you, first of all, guess what, guys, you don't have to go through that time. God, a good God, wouldn't let you go through that. Therefore, when you do go through it, you think, well, maybe he's not such a good God. Many pre-tribs have said as much. I've got many quotes I use at the end of my Left Behind or Led Astray, or I'm sorry, Left Behind. Well, actually, it wasn't called Left Behind. It was our great debate in Colorado where I debated Dr. Stauffer. I was invited to a big prophecy conference. It was a climax of the conference to debate him. And I used quote after quote after quote from pre-trib leaders and other pre-tribs who say, you know, oh, God wouldn't do that. And they're greasing the skids for people's hearts to be hardened. Not that they're doing it intentionally, but many of these teachers also say, hey, once you're saved, you're always saved. So guess what? You could take the mark of the beast. And this is a recipe, I call it a recipe for apostasy, and these two major ingredients. But right now, I want to talk about the rapture. And now, if there was a verse we looked at last week, if there was a verse that said 7 years before the last day, the church would be raptured, I'd be a pre-trib, you know, a pre-tribber. But there's not. And now I'll say today, but there's many verses that talk about how Christ would come and the believer in Jesus would be resurrected on the last day. Now, if there was a verse that a pre-tribber could show me that says 7 years before the end of the age comes, we'll be raptured, I'd say, wow, well, now you have a clear verse. Here's 10 grand. Well, that deal is not there anymore. So I don't have to even deal with it. But I just say, wow, got a clear verse. And by the way, it's not there, guys. I'm being a little facetious here. We know it's not there. The early church would have seized upon it. The early church of the first three centuries was post-trib. As I've said many times, they didn't even debate the subject pre, mid, or post. They didn't even understand, or it never came about where people were teaching that they're going to be raptured before the tribulation began, so they didn't have to get debated. But let's look at the scriptures and what it says in reference to Christ coming to gather believers together, in reference to, is it at the end of the age when Christ comes back after the Antichrist appears, or is it 7 years before the end of the age? I believe the scriptures are really clear, and you'll see very clearly that we're going to be here, the church, not until 7 years before the end of the age, but until the end of the age. Chad, you remember the word for age? What's that Greek word for age?
Is it eschaton?
Or are you thinking end? End is eschaton, but
eschaton. Ionios, yeah.
Ionios, there we go.
Yeah, sorry.
I knew you knew it. It was a trick question because you've been teaching on the eschaton lately, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, he knows the Greek word. It's ionios. And it's interesting because the scriptures talk about this age in the gospels and in the epistles, and the age to come. And the Bible talks about this transition that's made, not 7 years before the age to come, but at the age to come. And Jesus and his apostles and the prophets spoke continually of the age we're in and the age or the world to come. God's word speaks often of these two ages. In fact, the age we are now living in is called, it refers often to that age and the age to come. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of, quote, this age, and quote, the age to come, Matthew 12:32. The Apostle Paul speaks of the age we live in now as the prior age, and the prior age, Apostle Paul speaks of the age we live in now prior to the Lord's return, at quote, and he calls this present age, he calls it the present evil age, okay, Aionios. And it's interesting, that's in Galatians 1:4. Apostle Paul contrasted the age we now live in with the age to come. He spoke of this age, but also of the one to come. That's a quote. This age, but also in the one to come. Ephesians 1:21. So we see this with Jesus. We see this with the apostles. This is called the present evil age. It's ruled by Satan, who's called the god of this Aionios, this age. He blinds the minds of those who believe not to the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2:2. Jesus said to them, listen to this. And this is in Luke 20, 34 and 36. And tell me if you could discern a transition in the ages. Jesus said to them, the sons of this age, marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and the resurrection from the dead, which he puts as the age to come. Notice that he puts the resurrection of the dead at the age to come, not 7 years before it. Neither marry nor are given in marriage. And he goes on to say, for they cannot even die anymore, because they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection, because they are resurrected in the age to come. Now, it's interesting. They're like the angels. It doesn't say they are angels. There's some who are falsely teaching that we will be angels. We're actually different than angels. Matthew 12, 32, and whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, says Jesus, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. You see, there's not this separate age in between of 7 years that the church somehow escapes before, 7 years before the end of the age. Mark 10, 30, but we shall receive a hundredfold, or he, I'm sorry, shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. The Fort Faith teachers like to quote the other stuff and leave out the persecutions there. And in the world to come, the world to come, the world to come, this time contrasted with the world to come, eternal life. Notice that the world to come, the age to come, you know, the time to come, that's when the eternal life, the resurrection takes place. Not 7 years earlier. Luke 18:30. It talks about those who shall not receive manifold more in the present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Okay? Ephesians 1:21, Paul says, far above all principality, that's Jesus, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Hebrews 6:5 talks of apostates who have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. I know I'm a believer in this point. That's because sometimes you need to give some people a ton of scripture before they start to see it. And I understand that. You know, we're all like that to a degree at different times. But my pre-trib brethren, sometimes you can show them just point-blank scriptures that are clear as day, and they'll just ignore them, you know, ad infinitum. Yeah, and then just, yeah, amen, exactly. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, Paul says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Okay, we're going to be caught up. The rapture is definitely taught in Scripture. The question is it at the end of the age or before the end of the age? 7 years. Some pre-tribbers talk about way before the 7 years, the tribulation. Even earlier, the rapture will take place. But notice Jesus, he gives the church the Great Commission, you know. He tells them to go into the highways and byways. He tells them, even before he sends them out at the end of his life, that they're going to go and they're going to reap a harvest and they're going to catch fish and be fishers of men. But when are they to expect him to come and collect? Chad, could you read Matthew 13, 47 through 50?
Yeah, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it is filled, they drew it up on the beach and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers. But the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
So what's going on there, Chad, at the end of the age?
Well, it seems like both are getting collected.
This is the fishing expedition that we're on as a church right now.
It actually says they will gather fish of every kind. And they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, and the bad they threw away. So you have both at the end of the Ionios.
Are you sure you read that correctly? You're sure it doesn't say they gather the good fish 7 years before the end of the age, bro?
Yeah, I'm positive. Yeah, I'm positive. And in fact, yeah, there's a text right before that that says something similar.
Yeah, we'll get to that one in a minute. You hold your horses there, brother.
I will. I didn't mention
it. In all the discourse, the apostles, they asked Jesus to tell them when the temple will be destroyed, right? And they ask, quote, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Now, they had already had teaching on this earlier in Matthew and the other gospel accounts. And Chad just read some of that teaching in Matthew 13, several chapters and many, many months earlier, where they were receiving teaching about the end of the age and everything being separated, the good and the evil at the end of the age. And they wanted, so that's what they're looking to. They're not looking to this 7 years before the end of the age deal. They're looking for this end of the age. And Jesus not only told them, the parable of the terrors earlier, which we'll get into in a moment, but he emphasizes that these apostles, and we know from, that's Matthew 24, but we know from Mark 13, it literally gives the names of the apostles, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, who were talking to him, and they were talking about, you know, he's talking about every stone will be thrown down for the temple, and he actually brings them through, this is so decisive, guys. I mean, Chad and Tony and I were just talking about, you know, not too long ago, we're just like saying, it's so clear when you go through Matthew chapter 24. When you go through Matthew 24, Jesus takes his own apostles. It's right before the crucifixion. He's preparing them to lead his church after he's gone. He takes them all the way through the tribulation and says all the stuff that they will face to prepare them for it. But we want to believe, well, he really didn't mean them after all. You know, there's a secret rapture that he would let it reveal to them. And it's just ridiculous. But notice what he taught his apostles about the end of the age. And now, brothers and sisters, pay attention clearly. When Chad reads this, I want you to discern something. Who's here to the end of the age? He's going to gather the wheat and the tares together. Who's here to the end of the age? Is it both or just one? And also, notice who's being gathered first. Who's going to be gathered together as a big bundle or whatever they're going to be gathered as first, the wheat or the tares? According to pre-trib, the wheat gets gathered first 7 years earlier, right? 7 years before the end of the age. Then the tares are gathered together at the end of the world. But is that what Jesus taught? Absolutely not. Notice who's being gathered, when they're being gathered, and who's being gathered first. And Chad, can you read that and maybe comment on that too?
Yeah, this is Mark 13, 36 through 43. And it says, then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the tares in the field. And he said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy sowed them, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels and will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. So I want to be able to hear that, because I have ears, and this is something that Jesus is clearly teaching. I do not know how you could read that and come to the conclusion that there is going to be some sort of rapture 7 years prior.
And that was Matthew.
This is Matthew. What did I say?
I think you said Mark. Matthew.
Yeah.
Matthew 13. Now, Chad or
Mark
Tony?
Mark 13 is an end times.
It's also end times.
Who is there to the end of the age? The wheat or the tares or both?
Tony, are you going to go ahead?
What's that?
Who's there at the end of the age? The wheat or the tares or both?
At the end?
At both. The end of the age, yeah.
Both.
And who's actually gathered together first?
The tares.
The tares, yeah.
Yeah.
Think about the meaning of that for a second.
In a pre-trib rapture, the wheat would be gathered when?
Seven years prior.
That's right. And they'd be gathered together second or first?
First, obviously.
First, if the pre-trib was true. Yeah.
Right.
The scriptures, there's no scriptures that teach a pre-trib rapture, guys, but there's a whole lot of scripture, an awful lot of scripture that teaches the absolute opposite, you know? So it's interesting. The Greek word for then, you know, means now, or at that time, the terrors of the children of the evil one are gathered to be burned, is the same time the righteous will shine like the sun in the Lord's kingdom. So there's a gathering going on of the wheat. What does that look like? We'll talk about that, because the Lord's going to gather all the wicked. I'm sorry. There'll be a gathering together of the tares first. And then, now, at that time, when the tares are being gathered together, then it says the righteous will shine like the sun in the Lord's kingdom. This is interesting. It's instructive, because in Daniel 12, 1 through 3, he tells us how the righteous will shine in the resurrection. And we know that the dead in Christ rise first. Okay? And those who are alive, it will meet them in the air right after the dead in Christ rise first. We learned about that last week. 1 Thessalonians 4, it's real clear, the dead in Christ rise first. So now it's interesting, the righteous shine at the end of the age, according to Daniel 12, the first few verses. Most pre-tribbers admit that, okay? And they'll shine, you know, like the sun. Here Jesus talks about the believers, the wheat will shine like the sun. And he puts it at the end of the age, the resurrection. That's where Daniel has the resurrection. But guess what? The dead in Christ rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So you have the gathering of the wheat, then you have the resurrection of the believer, and the rapture of the church. Quite interesting. So it's quite clear Jesus not only stated that both would grow together, but he also identified the harvest as being at the end of the age. He made it clear the wheat would be gathered first. Now, I think this is really, really interesting, because this destroys, I think the parable of the sower is one of the clearest passages that just destroys, I'm not the parable of the sower, the parable of the wheat and the tares. One of the clearest passages that destroys pre-tribulationism. Even clearer is just Jesus' clear stated words in Matthew chapter 24, though. Now, it's interesting. How are they gathered? How are the tares being gathered together at the end of the age? Well, Zechariah 14 says, a day is coming, a day of the Lord is coming, when your plunder will be divided among you. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. And on the Mount of Olives, will he split in two from the east to the west, forming a great valley, with half the mountain moving to the north and half moving to the south. The Lord will be a king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord, and his name will be the only name. Now, isn't that interesting? The day the Lord will come, right? He's going to come after he says, I gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. First, he's going to gather all the wicked together. That's the tares, brothers and sisters. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations. Then he returns, right? Now, notice I said, it says when he gathers, the word is now. He gathers the wheat. He's gathering the wheat. Now, what's going to happen? Right? He's going to come for the righteous. Amen. And then when you read Zechariah, he gathers the wicked to burn them because they're going to be burned at a Megiddo, guys. It's when Jesus comes in flaming fire, right? With his mighty angels in flaming fire, and he destroys the Antichrist with the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. Amen.
2 Thessalonians 1:2.
That's right. Exactly. And it's interesting, too, because it says in Zechariah chapter 14, it goes on to talk about how in 14:12, about how their flesh will dissolve when they stand on their feet, and their eyes will be dissolved out of their sockets. Their tongues will dissolve out of their mouths. That's intense heat. So it's interesting. It's very clear. The wheat's gathered together. They're gathered together for the Battle of Armageddon. Then, that is the tares, then the wheat's gathered. But listen to this, the Scofield Reference Bible. And brothers and sisters, the first reference Bible I ever had, the first study Bible I ever had as a new Christian was the Scofield Reference Bible. And the, praise God, because as I was a new Christian, I wasn't indoctrinated by pre-tribbers. I just had me, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. And as I read through Matthew 24, Mark 21, or Mark 13, Luke 21, the book of Daniel, you know, the book of Revelation, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 2, you know, memorizing a lot of the book of Revelation, it was so clear to me that church was going through the tribulation. But throughout part of that journey, I started hearing on the radio something different. And I looked at my own study Bible. Thank God I didn't look at the notes before I looked at scripture. That the rapture is at the end of the tribulation. I couldn't believe people were saying otherwise. Then I saw, well, check this out. This is in the Scofield Reference Bible, which is credited by some to be the greatest purveyor of pre-tribulationism in the 1900s. Listen to what they state, what states in the Scofield Reference Bible, okay? Even though Jesus says, listen to this, Jesus in Matthew 13:30, first gather up the tares, right? The Scofield Reference Bible states, quote, first the wheat is gathered into the barn, okay? That's in the 1917 edition, I'm quoting from there, page 1016. Scofield had to invert the order because he acknowledged that the wheat represents Christians making up the church. Scofield understood the wheat was the Christians. In fact, in Scofield's reference Bible, page 1014, two pages earlier, he says, the seven parables of Matthew chapter 8, called by the Lord Mysteries of the Kingdom of Heaven, taken together, describe the result of the presence of the gospel in the world during the present age. That is, the time of seed sowing, which began with our Lord's personal ministry and at the end of the harvest. Briefly, the result is the mingled tares and wheat, good fish and bad, in the sphere of Christian profession. It is Christendom. I have no problem with that. He's right. It represents the ministry of the Lord. The wheat represents the church, the believers in Christ. What I disagree with and what totally contradicts the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't mess with the word of Jesus. You don't add or take away his word, and you definitely don't twist it and invert it, which he does here. The Scofield Reference Bible states, first the wheat is gathered into the barn. That is a bold-faced lie. Jesus said, first, gather up the tares. Who are you going to go with? Pre-tribulationism or the Lord Jesus Christ? So I want to encourage you guys to recognize you got to be really careful with your study Bibles. You have to be really careful with commentary. You have to test everything you hear us saying and make sure that it is scriptural. Okay? Now, I think it's interesting, too, because they asked Jesus, when will be the end of the age, right? In Matthew 24, Jesus also says to them, see to it that you're not troubled for these things. I was taking them through the tribulation period. They want to know what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. He says, see to it that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So you can't put the end of the age earlier, because right when they ask him what the end of the age is, some pre-tribbers will say, well, maybe the end of the age is the pre-trib rapture, and the last 7 years begins the end of the age. Wrong, because in the context of Jesus being asked about the end of the age, and they already knew that they weren't going to be gathered as the wheat until the end of the age. When they asked him, what will be the sign of the end of the age, and you're coming to the end of the age, he clearly said, see to it that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Meaning the tribulation events are not the end. They're not the end of the age. Okay? So he makes that crystal clear. I think that's absolutely important. In fact, Jesus made it clear that the wheat needs to be, that the seed needs to be sown, so more wheat will come before the end of the age during the tribulation period. In fact, in Matthew 24:14, Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom we preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, then the end will come. Isn't that interesting? So here you got that wheat being populated, you know, being planted, and it's during the last period, the last 7 years. Amen. In fact, Jesus tells the disciples, he warns them, his apostles, Peter, James, John, Andrew, leaders of the early church, those who would be leading the church just, you know, a couple weeks later after his, or just days later after his resurrection, right? Which was just around the corner. But he who endures, he says, many will fall away, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Do you think that they thought, oh yeah, but we won't be here? No, he's telling them. In fact, he says, when you see the abomination of desolation, sign of the holy place, Peter, James, John, Andrew, he's warning them, run, take off. He's taking them through plural pronouns. He's speaking to them specifically, letting them know in case they're alive at that time, it should happen their time. Then what do we read, guys? What does it say in Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31? I know we only have a few minutes, so maybe you guys could just sum it up real quick.
It says, immediately after the days of the tribulation, the sun will be dark and the moon will not give his light, and the stars will be shaken, will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other.
And that's, Chad, that Jesus is coming and going to gather us all together immediately. What does it say? Immediately what?
After the tribulation,
not 7 years before the tribulation. And he brings them all the way through to the end of the age in Matthew 24. And this is a clincher, guys. After he rises from the dead, he's already given this message. He's let them know what they're going to do. He gives them the Great Commission. And this is amazing. Listen to what he says when he tells them to go be witnesses throughout the entire world. And listen to how long he says he'll be with them while they're on that journey. And now nobody can say he's not addressing the church here. This is Matthew 28:18-20. He's specifically addressing his apostles just before he ascends. He's telling them when he's addressing them at the end of the age here, about the end of the age here, he's addressing them about waiting. The Holy Spirit will come upon them in power to go and witness to the church. In verse 19, in verse 18, Jesus said, came to them and spoke to them saying, all power or authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's what the church is doing, right, brothers and sisters? Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, which would be Matthew 24, that we've been, so exactly what we're doing, just as Jesus commanded. And lo, he says, I am with you always. Now he doesn't say 7 years before the end of the age here. He says, even to the end of the aionos, even to the end of the age. So Jesus gives them the Great Commission to go to all the world. And he says he's going to be with them while they're doing this, not to freak out. Don't be afraid. I'm with you even to the end of the age. Brothers and sisters, is Jesus coming back? And are we done 7 years before the end of the age? Or are we done at the end of the age? Is he coming at the end of the age for us? Hey, we're the wheat, man. Come for us when, guys?
At the end of the aionios.
Yeah. Amen. Day. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.